You know, when you see God work, it's amazing. And I shared that I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and prayer. And that's been a big part of my life, not me personally praying, but other people praying. And then I'm trying to learn myself. But I want to bring the Word into that too, those three things. And I'd just like to share a little bit, like, I feel like the life message that God has been trying to teach me from a little boy, it's just so neat. It just keeps building. And I find that a lot of times you experience something, and then you look back and you look at the scriptures and you go, wow. Like, it's just as great as the prophecies that he told before that happened later. I feel like looking back and seeing, wow, God, that's exactly the way you said you'd do it in your Bible. And I experienced it and I didn't even know it. And that's to do with the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to give you a bit of my life. I'm just going to really quickly try to quickly whip through to build up to this whole life message that God's teaching me. And I believe he's called to encourage people to come together to pray for his Holy Spirit. I can use this if you want. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Graham. Oh, good. Sorry about this, guys. I'm very quiet, and I'm a sound person's nightmare, I think. Sorry, Graham. I'm just going to share a few things. Like, I'm talking of the Holy Spirit of prayer and just what I've seen with my own eyes. And it began in Calgary, Alberta. And my dad came out west, came out to Saskatchewan to do some test pots for a chemical company. And he met a fellow that we didn't know it at the time, but later he told us this. That he prayed for my dad every single day after he did a test plot on his field in near Melfort, Saskatchewan. And Dad came home and our whole family fell apart completely. That's not what you'd think if a guy's praying every day for your family, but I remember thinking that we're done. Our family's going to be separated. My dad was an alcoholic and they were fighting and he'd been immoral or unfaithful, whatever you want to say. And I thought, we're done. We're finished. And I was in grade 3 and I prayed, but because I didn't even know if there was a God or not a God. But I remember hearing later that this man prayed every day. And he's one of the godliest men I've ever met. And Dad said that too. When I met him, there was something about him that was so real. And I wanted it. But then he moved back to Calgary. And we lived there for 3. And their marriage was that close to being done. And they were born again. They were invited to a Bible study on our block. And they were born again. And I saw the work of the Holy Spirit change my dad. I didn't know it. I sure liked it. I sure liked what had happened. But I had no idea it was the Holy Spirit. I wondered, how does a guy change like this? That's all you knew at that age. Then we moved to Melfort, Saskatchewan, and I experienced the Holy Spirit again. There was an old man that came to our church and was going to talk each night of the week. And his name was Bill McLeod. And I remember thinking, I can't believe this. We're going to be every night at this church and listening to this guy. And then I thought, oh man, he's an old guy. And then he just started speaking the Bible. And I remember, I was so gripped. I never listened to preaching, ever. And, well, just for a few seconds sometimes, but I'd start daydreaming usually. But with this one, as soon as he started, I was riveted, and I knew there was a God from my dad and my mom's life change, but this, I knew he was speaking to me personally that night, and that I should give my life to him to be a Christian. I knew it. I knew that is exactly what God was saying to me, and I didn't. I rejected him, but I knew he was speaking. But I looked over down the aisle, and my dad, he was a man's man. I mean, he never cried. He never let you cry. It was just, he hadn't changed much yet, but he quit drinking at least. But I looked down the aisle of our pew, and I seen my dad with tears just pouring down his face. And I really was scared. I thought, what in the world is this? But I knew it was the Spirit of, I didn't know it really then very much, but it was the Spirit of God fell on that place. And many people were touched in our church that day, that night. And my dad's life completely changed. God dealt with his pride. He told us, he had us all sit down. And he said, I've been the most proudest man in this world. And I've treated your mother terribly. But I'll tell you, I am going to change, and God's changing me right now. And wow. It was like, what has happened to our dad? 3 nights later in these same meetings, my mom dealt with bitterness. And that was a major transformation. The Holy Spirit changed both my mom and my dad. It was reality. Total reality. And I rejected the Spirit. You can sure reject him. And I rejected him for years after that. And rejected him and rejected him. But he never gave up on me. And my dad decided to give me a Bible, this Bible. The Holy Spirit really uses this book. And he asked me to read through it, so I read through it twice for him. But after about 3 months of it was the daily Bible, January 1st, January 2nd, you read the little portion. And after a while, it wasn't for my dad anymore. It was for me because I was loving it. And the Holy Spirit was taking it and using it. And I read just enough to be dangerous, I'm sure. But it was convicting me so powerfully. And I didn't know what was going on. But my dad, whose God had just completely transformed his life, he was fasting and praying for me and my younger brother. My mom said he'd go for weeks without any food. And he was a very busy businessman. And he would go down to our beds and he'd cry out to God to do whatever he had to do to win me and my brother. And we were living in Red Deer, Alberta at the time, had a business. And I will tell you, later, you don't know what's going on until later you read it and you go, wow, that has been my whole life for the last 3 years. But it says there he'll convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If I could have used one phrase to say what my life was, that was it. I thought about my sin all the time. And righteousness, I had always Christians coming into my life, constantly. And I was convicted that I need to be like those people. And then, of course, hell. I was dreaming of hell every few nights, and I'd wake up just screaming and sweating and smashing into things because it was always the same dream, and I never shared it till after I became a Christian, but people thought I was going crazy, I'm sure, because I'd wake up in the night just screaming, and I'd be yelling for help, and I'd smash into stuff, and I'd rip things off the wall, and it was always the same. I kept falling further and further, and I remember reading in the Bible that it reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And I tell you, it was terror. And it was always happening. It was the Holy Spirit just convicting me of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I remember just a little short thing just before that. So Pastor McLeod came back to our town after my mom and dad were met by God. And I remember not knowing how I felt about that. I was scared of this. Because I knew he was, and my dad asked him to stay in our house. And I was really scared about that. And and this was so amazing to me. And now I look back and I go, wow. That is, because I'd meet other young guys that would say the same thing to me when I was traveling with them. But he'd tell these stories about this guy. And every single one of those stories was me. And I remember wondering, does this guy read my mind? Or what is going on here? And you'd want to walk away, but you'd want to listen. I never wanted to be alone with him, ever. But I remember him telling these stories and the tears, and I'd have to leave the room because of tears welling up in my eyes because he was talking about me. And I asked him later, I said, my mom and dad didn't even know most of those things. And he said, no, I just pray every time that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide me. And he may sound like an older man rambling, but I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit has a hold of that man. And I'd be around him. There was something about him that I just thought, and when you read, if you believe in me, as the scripture I said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That was the truth of him. It was so real. And so all these things, all these people, that God just dropped the reddest, hottest Christians into my lap all the time. But it was the Holy Spirit was convicting me, and it's all I could think about. I tried to drown it in alcohol and pleasures and all these things. But it was him. He never let me go. And then after reading the Bible many times and all these great Christians God had brought into my life, I remember that when I said I had just enough knowledge, I was dangerous. I thought I'd committed the unpardonable sin because I'd turned my back on God so many times. I thought I was damned. And so I'm still reading the Bible and I'm really depressed. And I came to a place in the Bible where it said, the lust of the flesh are all these things, and if those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I thought I'd do every single thing in that list just about. And I thought I'm going to hell for sure soon. But then it said, but the fruit of the Spirit, again, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace. And I remember thinking, I see so many people with this reality in their life. They're Christians, and there's no doubt they have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life. And I remember thinking, oh God, if I haven't damned myself. I believed in God more than most preachers would have believed in God, and I didn't know Jesus. I believed he was as real as you're sitting here at that moment. And I said, Lord, I'll give you my whole life if you'll just take me, if you'll just save me through the blood of Jesus. But I said, you have to help me because I can't take it anymore. You got to give me the joy and the peace that you write about here because I can't go on anymore. And I remember, I know it's not about feelings, but man, you can't deny feelings. And he came into my life, and all I can describe it, me and my little boy, we have six children, Janie and I, but we have two younger ones now, and they're at home, and we have a Christian radio station in our town, and I love playing it when he's in, he just sings it at the top of his lungs, everything, and there's one song there that says, his love is like a waterfall. And every time we sing it, I'm crying driving down the road, but that's what God did for me that day. I said, Lord, you please, just, if you've saved me, give me this peace, and give me this joy. And all I could describe it as wave after wave of a water, or of whatever you want to call it, but that was just swept by the peace and the joy of God. And it was absolutely real to me. And I needed it in my life. And I couldn't stop crying for weeks, every time I think of it, that Jesus saved me that day. And his Spirit touched me. I still have, I think I know less. You know, you think you know something, and you think you just know less and less as you get more and more a Christian. But I know he met me that day. And it was so neat, too, because my brother, my dad had been fasting and praying for me and my brother, but God saved both of us the very same day, and we never, ever talked about it. We had our own business together in Red Deer, and I went upstairs to go tell him that I'd become a Christian, and he was weeping as well, and he became a Christian the very same day I did, without ever talking about it. It was so amazing. But that's the Holy Spirit of God. And then there was, during that time, there was many, many people that became Christians. And one of the guys that became a Christian was a drug debt collector, and he'd just transformed, and he moved in with us. He was a real close friend. My brother and him lifted weights together and stuff, and he was amazing. He was like the Apostle Paul. He was so filled with God's Spirit. And he invited us to church and to Bible studies, and we began to see things I have never seen in my life. It was so powerful. And I remember this prayer meeting I was invited to, and that really scared me, like a prayer meeting. I said, do I have to pray if I go to the prayer meeting? And they said, oh, no, you don't have to pray. So we went to, it was the prayer meeting the night before our church that we went to. And I remember being in that prayer meeting, and I used to think, who would ever want to go to a prayer meeting, and what would you do there? Like, how would it go a whole hour? But my dad would never miss prayer meetings, and he'd go to these things, and so there's this prayer meeting going on at this house, and somebody said it was going to be sometimes it's 3 or 4 hours. And I was just, what would cause you to, and I just wasn't sure. You know, you're just wondering what's going to happen there. But I knew the people that went there, and I wanted to be like them. And so we went to this prayer meeting. I will never forget this. One of the young men in the prayer meeting, all he prayed was, and he, you could tell, he was under conviction of God, and he just prayed, Lord, fill us so full of the Holy Spirit that we'll love you the way you deserve to be loved. And I'd never experienced it, but I was, before Saturday night was the night you went out and just went wild. And now it's a prayer meeting. And I remember sensing the presence of God so powerful in that room that I had to lie on the floor. And so did everybody else. And the carpet must have been soaked. I bet you that guy's carpet was wrecked that night. It was just soaking wet. And you just experience the presence of God. And I remember saying to myself, I will never, ever miss this prayer meeting in my life. If I have any chance of not missing, I'm not going to miss this. And I didn't. And you'd go there, and you'd experience the presence and the power of God. And I remember you'd be so excited about church the next day because you said, if it's anything like that prayer meeting we just had, and you'd go to church and people would be being saved. And the singing, I remember the guy saying they had a singing for an hour at this church. And I remember before that, I thought, I got so mad at our church back in Melfort when they moved from one hymn before the announcements to two. And I'm thinking, what would we want to sing that many times for? And now it's just song after song, and the Spirit of God was there, and you were worshiping God together. And I remember I invited this buddy of mine. He was a wrestler for the Alberta team, and he was a really great guy. I just loved him. And his dad was the chief of police in Sylvan Lake. And he was under such conviction. Young people were being saved all over Red Deer. It was amazing to see all drug dealers, bouncers. I wondered what Red Deer was doing for bouncers because there was so many of them becoming Christians. But this buddy of mine, he was a bouncer too. And he said, Jeff, do you think I could go to church with you? I just feel like I need to go to church. I said, whoa, would that ever be great, Kent? You should come. And he said, what do you wear to church? And I said, well, just wear, like, kind of nicer clothes, I guess. I'll never forget him. Because he got this bright yellow shirt. Like, just bright yellow. And it's some sort of tie that did not match at all. But boy, was he earnest and scared to go through that door. Man. He said, this is the only nice shirt I have, Jeff. So he's got it on. And he's so scared. And he goes in and we start singing. And I look over and this guy's just crying away. Big, muscular, tough, good-looking kid. And he's just crying and crying. And then the sermon, and by the time it's done, you could just see the Holy Spirit getting a hold of this young guy. And at the end, he said, I'd just become a Christian not very long before that. And he said, do you think that guy would talk to me, Jeff? And I said, oh, definitely. I'm sure he will. He's the most wonderful man you'll meet. And he said, could you come with me? And we went forward, and Pastor Art led him to Jesus. Oops, sorry. Led him to Jesus. And I still remember him saying to Kent, just pray as though you're praying to a friend, to God, you know, and just ask him to save you. And, oh, man, Kent started to use swear words in his prayer. But I've never heard a more earnest prayer. And he's praying to God, and I'm just thinking, oh, no. But Pastor Art never said a word. That was one of the most sincere prayers I've ever heard. They weren't the really bad swear words, but he was using some. And he gave his life to Jesus. And his life was transformed. And we saw person after person where the Holy Spirit just got a hold of people. And I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. And so my brother and I had a house there. And a whole bunch of guys started just moving in with us. Dale, the drug debt collector, he was the number two heavyweight bodybuilder in Alberta. He was a big, tough guy. And all these other guys moved in. And so what we decided, I was reading this is so key. I was reading the Bible. I couldn't get enough of it. I remember that we had our own business and we just would work enough to get to pay for everybody in the house to live. And then we'd just be studying. And we were reading through the Bible weekly. I mean, the New Testament weekly. And I remember thinking, I thought, to me, and I'm not a scholar or anything, but it seems like what a church should do is they should go and pray and get their right lives right with God. And then the Holy Spirit will work, and then they go out and share the gospel. And it just seemed to me that simple. You just sort of read it, and you thought, that seems to be the only thing we should be doing, like the main thing we should be doing. And so we thought we'd try, we'd do this. Like so you're reading the Bible, and that's a key for the Holy Spirit. Because I remember thinking, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought, if I read the Bible, it's going to bring tremendous comfort to me all the time. You know, now that I'm a Christian. That I don't know why I thought that. But I started reading the Bible, and I remember thinking, this has got to be the most frustrating book in the world. I remember reading it thinking, wow. You're not only do you have to do the right thing, you have to think the right thing. And not only do you have to think the right thing, you have to do the right thing with the right motive. And I remember thinking, if someone slaps you on the cheek, you should turn the other cheek to them. And if they ask you, because, you know, you read it and it's just what it says. And you'd read the thing, and if not only, and God had taken you out of immorality, but the thought life you knew was wrong still. And I remember thinking, if my pastor knew what I was thinking sometimes, he would not allow me to come into our church. And it bothered me so badly that this was going on in my mind. And I thought I was the only person who thought like this anymore. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do? I did not want to be a hypocrite. And I remember I didn't even talk to my own brother about it, because it's just these thoughts were just, there was such a civil war going on inside of my mind. And anger was popping up so many, and I remember thinking, what is wrong with me? You know, as a young Christian. And I remember reading about the Holy Spirit. And I realized, this is what I need. I need to be filled. I need to be like Pastor McLeod, this man I'd known from before. I need to be like Pastor Art. You could just see the Spirit of God flowing through their lives. Don Peterson. All these guys that you watched. And wow. And so you're reading the Bible constantly and you're praying, oh Lord, please help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, because you're reading this in the Bible. And I remember going to a prayer meeting in our house. We'd all meet together and pray each day. And I remember this guy, Dale Callahan. He was the drug debt collector. And he was leading people to Jesus I could not believe how many people he led to Jesus. And I thought, he is filled with the Spirit too. And he shared in one of those prayer meetings that we had about 10 to 12 guys. And he just started to tear up. And he said, guys, I just have to tell you, I want to have a pure mind. But he said, lately I've just been battling lust in my mind. It was like a dam burst in my own life. I just started crying. And I thought, wow, I'm not the only one. And every single guy around that table said they had the same trouble. I couldn't believe it. I thought, how could that be? Every one of us struggling with the same thing, and we wouldn't even talk about it. But because Dale brought it up, we all decided that we just felt, how could we fix this? We asked God, because it says in the Bible that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. We said, we're going to hide the word in our heart so we won't sin against God. So we cleansed our minds from the past and from everything with the word of God. We started memorizing together. And then it said there, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, you might be healed. So we shared, we're going to meet together very often. And if anybody's struggling at all with lust, just share it. You know, just share. Humble yourself and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. Because, I mean, we began to realize we're not just the only one. I think Satan loves that, just to hide things. So we'd share. But then we were truly asking God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Because one of the fruits is self-control. And purity. The purity of the Spirit of God. So we were asking. I'm sure it would have looked terrible. But we just were reading the Bible and trying to figure out how to do this. And so we were praying for God to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And I was praying so much. I needed to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I remember reading in a book, this book that someone gave me, it was called The Calvary Road. And just, it seems like God gives you things at the right time. But I read in The Calvary Road about a mother in a kitchen and about how she wants to fill this pitcher on the table with water. And he said, if she's going to go and put it on the table, she's not going to just, even if there's a bunch of gravy in it, she's not just going to fill the pitcher up and put it on the table with gravy floating all around in it. He said she'd take it and she'd dump it all out and then she'd clean it out beautiful and then she'd fill it up with water. And then he said, this very simple thing that just changed my life. He said, what God wants to do in your life is he wants to fill your soul. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. But he said, if he looks and he sees, I'm probably not stating it quite the right way he does, but if he looks and he sees stuff in it, what we need to do is allow him to clean it out. And so he said, we should pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there. So just ask God to search your heart. And you bring whatever he shows, you bring it before him and let him clean out the cup. And then he said, what he wants to do is he doesn't want to just fill your cup up 3/4 or even full. He wants to pour his Spirit into your life so that out of it flow rivers of living water. And did that make sense to me? I remember thinking, that is what I need to do. And I remember reading in 1 Timothy where it says, the goal of the whole Bible is love, flowing out of a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. That's God's truth. And so we started praying, Lord, just show us anything in our lives that's not pleasing to you. And God began to work on us and work in us. And I remember one of the greatest things in my life ever was realizing there can be freedom from lust. And it was such a freedom and such a joy in your life to be filled with God and to be able to have victory over things like that together with other people. And then God began to burden us all. I think what happens is there began to be a real tremendous desire to share the gospel. And so we began sharing the gospel. And it was just, as we read the Bible, we tried to follow it. And we experienced the Holy Spirit. But what I want to look at here in the next times that we're going to look at is a process that I began to see. I later became a pastor. And from that very primitive, I guess, model for what we did there in that house in Red Deer, praying together, reading the words, you know, you'd read the Bible every day personally, and you'd pray personally. But there was that coming together, that there was something about that really helped my Christian life. And so every church that I go to, I'd try to find as many pastors as I could to come together, or just godly men that were seeking God to come together and to pray together. And what I want to do is sort of that thing I learned earlier and what I've been learning through the Bible, I'd like to share. I think something, as I said, you look back and you see the work of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to share what I think a process that God begins to do in our lives to fill us with His Spirit. It's out of the Scriptures, and I would really like to, it's a key that I believe, as I'm learning more and more, and I've watched Him do it. I've watched God work in, you know, just like I look back and I saw how He convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, I saw for sure that was what He was doing in my life, and it was Him bringing me to Himself through this great conviction. His Holy Spirit was doing that. And I believe that when we come together and we ask God to fill us with His Spirit, I believe He begins a process that is so beautiful. And if you might be here today, and the area you might be struggling, I think there's two sons, and I've been both sons, there's the prodigal son, and maybe you're into something that's grieving the Holy Spirit. I remember thinking that. There is no way that the rivers of living water can flow through me if I've got thoughts like this in my head that I'm hanging on to, I'm cherishing. There's no way. Or bitterness. I think bitterness is one of the biggest, and lots of times when you read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it's sandwiched in bitterness, grieving the Spirit of God. That's one of the greatest grievers, of the Holy Spirit, is bitterness. How can rivers of living water flow through you when you're bitter towards your brother? I don't know how that cannot happen. The cup's dirty. And I think what the world needs, what our communities needs, is for us to allow those rivers of living water to flow through us. Anyone who sees, when the Bible says you could be filled with God Himself, everyone around you will know if we really are filled. We can talk, we can lie, we can do all we want. But if you're filled with God and He's flowing through you like rivers of living water, your city will never be the same. And what we read there in the Bible too is it doesn't just seem like He comes through people. He pours out His... And again, I don't know. I just am reading it and I think that's what it says. That He poured His Spirit down on Jerusalem, and He's done it so many times since, and I've experienced that, and I'll share a bit. But He also seems to flow through people. Again, I don't want to argue with anybody, but I just don't know how else you can't see. I don't know how else it could say that, what it's saying. And so I think we as Christians, we need to say, God, we want this. I need this. I need You to flow through me to glorify Your name in this community. And if each one of us, those 11 guys that went back to Jerusalem, the whole world was turned upside down. And if we just come to God and say, God, would You please do this work in me, and You get some other guys around You, God will do it. And that's what I want to take some time and talk about. Some of the things that we have learned and seen. And just what God has done in my own life. So, I think maybe I'll stop there for now. But when we come back together again, I just like you maybe just to take some time and look through, if you have time in between, is the first four Beatitudes. We're going to look at those, where He says, blessed. Blessed are. I'd like you to just maybe take a look. If you have time, look at that. And we'll ask God to just really open that up to our hearts. I think that's the process that God does. But again, the two boys, you can be into the one ditch of the prodigal son where we allow sin into our lives and worldliness. And it's neat to look at that. We're going to look a bit at the parallel between the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the exact opposite of that is the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Those three are exact opposites. And we'll look a bit at that. But if you want to look at that too, it is. They're exactly the opposite. And sometimes that's what's grieving the Spirit of God in our lives, is that worldliness. But there's something else that might surprise, I don't know if it probably doesn't surprise you, but it surprised me because I've struggled with the worldliness so much. But I found that there's something else, I think, that's grieving the Spirit of God in some of the people that could be the greatest used of God. It's the Phariseeism, and it's a religiosity, and you find that that can grieve the Spirit of God in your life, this self-righteous judging, and you know, you got two ditches, and those people are usually firing at the worldly Christians across the narrow road, and they're shooting over here, and then you got the worldly Christians, oh, those bunch of hypocrites, you know, they're judging me all the time, and you've got this going on. But God wants, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're in neither of those ditches. And I think, sometimes I think, a lot of times I hear people throwing out the really religious people because they're just like this or like that. And I think those people are the ones that God could just, because they are hungry. They're like Paul. They're so hungry. And I think some of us have always, a lot of us in this room have been in that ditch of religiosity. And it's a worse one because you can fake it better in that ditch. But there's no rivers of living water flowing. That's the part that we know in our own hearts that's not true. I'm just faking this. I know what this looks like and I can fake it well. But I think it's sort of like if you're wrestling somebody way bigger than you are, you can't beat them by your own strength. And so you have to use their strength and pull them down. And Satan sees these people that are really hungry and really zealous. And he says, okay, if you're going to go, I'm going to pull you even further into pride. Into spiritual pride, into spiritual fakeness and hypocrisy, that leaven of the Pharisees, and that leaven can get into the church and leaven the whole entire church and grieve the Spirit of God. And so, whatever ditch we're in, I hope we can come out of it together. And it's going to be a process. And I hope when you go home, you can find other people to pray with. Because if you want to be filled with the Spirit, like one guy said, I'd give everything I have to have your walk with God to this other guy. And he said, well, that's what it cost me. If we can simply go back to that place where we say, Lord, I won't let you go till you bless me. Like he said, you keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. And you will be filled. So we're going to just take some time and look into that later. And I'm sorry, it's not real eloquent, but I really want us to just get the heart of this. And so let's just pray right now. Dear God, I just want to thank you so much for each man in this room, and we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. You would just touch our hearts here during this weekend. We want to meet with you, dear God, and we want to be filled with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch us and that you'd help each one of us to just spend time in your Word and meet with you every day. To just grow in church as we listen to your Word in church. But Lord, I pray you'd help every one of us find a few other brothers to be able to get together and pray just like they did in that upper room. And Lord, that we would cry out to you and we'd pray through with you and that we'd be filled with your Holy Spirit and that you would just pour out your Spirit on our communities. Lord, we just ask you. We read it in your Bible. And we know it's true, but we want it to be real in our own communities. We want a true work of your Spirit in our communities. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.